Well, good evening, everyone. It's 7 o'clock, and I'd like to call the February 20th, 2024 general meeting of the City of Gustavus to order. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Present.
Councilmember Patrick?
Present.
Councilmember Makoviak? Councilmember Makoviak? Councilmember Bishop? Councilmember Bishop? Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Madam Mayor?
Here.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay, before starting the meeting, we'd like to ask the public to mute the phones and keep the video off. The meeting will be recorded and posted to our website, and the packet will be projected and is also available online at www.gustavus-ak.gov. And Rachel, would you like to read the vision statement?
Yes, thank you. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Okay, thank you. And Brian, would you like to make a motion about the minutes?
Yeah, let's get right into it. I move to approve by unanimous consent the meeting, the minutes from our, was that January 16th meeting.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. Mike? Brian? Okay. It's moved by Brian and seconded by Mike to approve by unanimous consent the January 16th, 2024 general meeting minutes. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing no hands and no one at City Council. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay. And hearing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. Next up is our mayor's request for agenda changes. And I don't have any suggested changes to the agenda. Are there any requests from the council for agenda changes? Hearing no objections, Mayor announced that the agenda is set by unanimous consent. Our next item is committee reports and staff reports. We will invite presenters in order listed to speak, state your name, department, and keep your reports to 5 minutes or less. After that, the council will have an opportunity to ask clarifying questions only. And first up, we've got Ian Barrier with the Disposal and Recycling Center quarterly report. Ian, can you come join us?
Good evening, City Council and Mayor Shelley. I'm Ian and Manager of Disposal and Recycling Center, and I'm going to summarize my quarterly report to you. For labor, I had one individual apply at the DRC this quarter, and it was very nice having their help. Unfortunately, they had to travel out of state for personal reasons, which leaves me solo again. I did some notable work on some equipment this quarter, mainly repairing the kicker for a Cramalot baler, which required me to do a little bit of welding. The most exciting thing of all was my trip to Seattle that I took in early December to recover a radioactive item out of a scrap metal bale. It was pretty easy overall. I just arrived at AML's lot down in Seattle, and I was taken to the area with the bale, and I removed the offending item, which was just a radioactive gauge, and it posed no harm and was safe to handle with latex gloves. Another interesting thing is I've been working on the landfill expansion project, and that is on the agenda for this meeting, and I really hope that that'll be approved. That concludes my summary.
I've got a question for him, if I may. I've been wondering about, plastics recycling and what the market is for that. I remember, way back we used to manage to recycle everything, and then we got to where about all we could recycle were the plastic drink bottles, and now it appears we're recycling a lot more plastic. What can you say in general about plastics recycling? I think I've not been bringing you, not, I've not been separating out some of the things that I could have been.
The market for recycling plastic right now is quite difficult. The truth is, within the United States, there isn't a lot of infrastructure for recycling of plastic, and a lot of people have worked away from it because it's so hard to get a quality product. If you start mixing in other types of plastic and even different types of, say, number one plastic into a bale, it ruins it because it'll separate like oil and water. Other than that, I have done some investigation, and it's been really hard to find any kind of a facility that accepts it. And the ones that I have are all the way across the other side of the country, or they don't seem like there's a lot of information about their business, so it's really hard to say how reliable they might be. But I have found places that say buys bulk plastics, so like your lawn chairs and your laundry hampers and miscellaneous things. And but at this point in time, because of the lack of a facility that'll accept it on the West Coast, I just don't see it as an option. And the main reason that plastic recycling has become so difficult was the ban of shipping it overseas. China banned the import of recyclables, and other countries have too. And that's really all I know on the situation.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so thanks, Ian. I have a question about the labor and hiring. Is the person planning to come back, or did they leave permanently?
They mentioned they wanted to come back, but the truth is I can't really say if they will or not.
So are we going to repost a position looking, is it posted again?
Well, compared to what Paul would do, I've proposed to leave it open essentially year round, and as able, willing people come to me, or if I see somebody, I'll pretty much just attempt to recruit them. But considering the time of the year, I'm holding on by myself just fine.
Oh, okay.
But I will say that Sid Glassman, who was with me last summer, she did mention she wanted to come back. I haven't actually followed up with her quite yet, but if she does, then we'll be all set.
Great. And then one other thing in terms of your trip down south for the radioactive little deal is, do we now have some way to monitor that? Like, I don't know, do you have a Geiger counter or something that you can test the thing so that you know this won't be repeated? Or is there, and I'm just wondering, is there some way to do that?
Yes, there are tools that we can get for that purpose. And it's something that needs to happen pretty soon, but I just haven't quite gotten around to it. But that is the plan.
And I see that the city administrator, Kathy Leary, is online, and I think she probably can address this during her, when she gives her report. Okay, and thank you, Ian. I see no other hands up. And you'll stick around and give us a brief, okay, about the bale fill expansion and item number 7. Thank you. Okay, so next up is the City Treasurer Monthly Report, Ben Sadler.
Thank you, Shelley. Ben Sadler, City Treasurer. So I thought this month I would just talk briefly about a few things that the bigger things that are going on as far as the city treasurer goes. The audit that we are paying for and has been completed, and we should receive, I was told in an email today, in the next few weeks, we should receive a detailed accounting of 2023 and see where we are. They did not have to change very much based on the information that I sent them, which was good. There was a few things that they thought needed to be put back into the previous calendar year. Not sure how they make their decisions on things like that, because we work in a fiscal year kind of thing, and I don't think it really mattered one way or the other, but I didn't argue with them about it. And that was pretty much the only change that they made to our books, was just that they thought a few things needed to be in the previous calendar year. So we'll see when the actual audit report comes out, but that should be coming right up. I have started working on the budget process for FY25. Each department has received their budget documents showing their amounts that they spent for the previous 5 years. And I have set up appointments with the library for this week, hoping the fire department next week, and if possible, the DRC as well, to go over that. I will then put that information into a spreadsheet for the mayor and the city administrator, and then they are going to go to the departments and speak with them to get justification for their needs. But the whole council needs to know that coming up in the next few weeks, we'll need to sit down and have a budget-specific meeting. Last year, it was on or around March 1st. This year, I feel like I'm about a week behind. So I'd still like to have both the first budget meeting with the council and the budget town hall in March. And preferably, the council will be on a Monday. The town hall will be on a Wednesday. That's just keeping with how we've done it in the past. I'm still working. I know we had a specific special meeting for the CIP, and I'm still working on that. I will have that prepared before budget time. So those are the things that I've been working on, and I'm here to answer any questions anyone has.
Yeah. Okay, Janine, go ahead.
Thanks. So last year on the budget, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle on the library, and I want to make sure that we avoid that this year. And it's so, is there steps that can be taken to avoid that?
That is why the mayor, and after I have compiled the information, the mayor and the city administrator will then go to the department, sit down with them, and get justification. That was what seemed to be lacking last year was, I mean, I guess I'm this is how I saw it play out, was that the library specifically asked for a specific amount of money that the city administrator and possibly the mayor, I can't remember, thought needed a little more justification. Their justification at the time was, we got it last year. And that wasn't what was being asked. It was being asked, can you please show us why you need this specific amount of money for this specific line item in the budget? I believe that Mayor Owens's plan this year is, before it gets to the council, to be able to go to the department and say, show me why you need this much money. Now I can go and we can present this to the council. So that is the plan.
And will there be a procedure? I mean, if in the chance that there's a disagreement, or if any of the departments still after that meeting don't feel that the budget is to what they wanted, is there a process for that?
Yes. And the same process was in place last year. They just didn't follow up. I meet with the departments, the city administrator and the mayor meets with the departments. Then we all meet with the council. It's at that time that the departments should make their justifications to the council, because although it's the mayor's budget, the council gets to weigh in on it. So last year at the meeting that we had with the full council, I remember Tanya Lewis specifically saying, you know, can you provide this? Can you provide that? And at the time it was no, you know, but we won it, but we had it last year. And so it was said at that point that, well, we'll go ahead and go with these numbers, but, you know, at either going into the finalizing the budget or after the budget's finalized, we can amend it later on to do this once we've seen the justification. And the problem was the justification just didn't come until maybe September. So I would say that the time for that would be at the work session, the budget work session. That would be the time for the department heads to be here to explain to the council why they, if especially if they don't feel like they're getting what they're asking for.
Great. So they'll be invited to do that.
They were invited last year as well. Yes. Everyone was invited last year to the budget work session. Some people, you know, just, and again, you know, I thought that the budget process went fairly well last year, with the exception of that one particular line item for the library.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I see that Council Member Jim Muscoviac has joined us online. Does anyone, any other council members have any clarifying questions for Ben? Okay, seeing none. Let's see, we will move on to the city administrator's report.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. So just to further the scrap metal issue, I had checked with our insurance company about coverage for the incident, and their response was basically, you know, this had never happened before, and they had to talk with APEI at length about the situation. They took many days to look over the policy. They, you know, consulted with their team, and their answer to us that ultimately the coverages for radioactive contamination is linked back to the property coverage. Therefore, they said a covered loss has to have occurred in order for the coverage to start responding. So the policy language basically stated that the insurer shall be liable for direct loss or damage caused by a sudden and accidental radioactive contamination, including resultant radioactive damage from material used or stored or from processes conducted on the described premises, provided at the time of loss there's neither a nuclear reactor nor any new or used fuel on the described premises. So they're saying, like, if there was a fire at a building and that created a radiation link, a leak, that the policy would follow through. But I'm not completely sure I agree with their interpretation, but I have yet to contact them for a conversation on more of the details. And I'm waiting on one more contractor to give me a quote for the disposal. And if they haven't been great about getting back to me, if I don't hear from them in the next couple of days, I'm just going to schedule with one of the other companies. Either way, it's going to be about a $5,000 price tag. So I have an update on the law enforcement TSA issue. I spoke with the South Coast director, Christopher Goins, again about the issue at the transportation meeting last Thursday. Basically, we're all trying to turn over a lot of rocks and not yet finding an acceptable solution. He did tell me that ADOT and DPS commissioners were supposed to have a meeting with the NPS, but he didn't really know when that was. I asked if we could participate, and he said he would mention that we wanted to. DOT commissioners' order, since it was, I don't know if you've heard, but it was rejected by the federal government. We were the only state in the union to have it rejected. And if they don't get it fixed, Alaska's basically going to be out of luck with their projects and millions of federal funding dollars that goes along with it. I had also sent all the previous information and correspondence to Senator Murkowski's staff, and I was told they had a meeting scheduled with Department of Interior people last week. I went and asked their staff today, who was at the Alaska Municipal League conference, and they haven't heard the results of that meeting yet, so I'm still waiting to hear from them. They're supposed to check on it tomorrow. We're still waiting on news for the wildfire protection planning grant. We haven't been notified of that yet, or at least not that I know of. We did receive notification from state emergency management folks that we received funding to perform a cybersecurity assessment. There was us with three other villages sort of packaged with AML's help. We were able to negotiate a lower price by having both of us in Skagway, because we have Alaska Technical Solutions as our managed service provider. They were able to reduce the overall cost for each of us. We did get our final reimbursement from the Grandpa's Farm Road project. Yay! Took forever because we had to get signed back on to three different things online in order. You have to get an ID.me and an IRS.gov and a blah blah dot whatever before you can, and you have to give them your firstborn child so that you can qualify to sign up, basically. But they had the money in the bank the next day after we finally got all that done. Mayor and I have reviewed and edited a grant narrative that Lexapol drafted for us for the fire department's water tanker. Sol's also working on, so those people were, Lexapol was contracted to do the narrative. Then there's the rest of the grant application that we have to complete. Sol's been working on that part. This company specializes in law enforcement, fire and rescue, EMS and other safety concerns. But having someone from out of state work on these things, even though they're experienced, there's a lot that they miss and that they don't understand, and that we had to spend a few hours a piece editing. So, not sure how many more times we might try to use somebody from out of state. The Wild Foods Harvest Survey folks were in town. You heard from them at the work session. I also met with them the next day, one-on-one. Only one of the trips to empty the septic holding tanks have been made. We still have three trips to empty the tanks to get them ready for this next summer's schedule. There's an email there if you want to get on their list for the next go around of tank pumping. And basically, I've continued to work with Mayor Owens, Councilmember Taylor, the Gustavus Visitors Association, and various business members on the borough petition issues. GVA plans to submit their own comments to the local boundary commission, and we've requested additional information regarding PILT, but I don't know. There's to get to the bottom of it and get some additional information if it exists while I'm here in Juneau at the AML meeting. So that's where I am right now in Juneau. We've been bringing forth some of our concerns and projects and funding requests, and I've got a couple of meetings set up with legislators. I testified today in front of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It's kind of a last-minute thing, and I was the last person, so I didn't have a whole lot of time, but talked about the town's demographics and projects and the elephant in the room of the borough petition and about our law enforcement issue. They did say if our documents are approved tonight, they would welcome receiving them after tonight's meeting. We've been working together with staff to update the appropriate scoping documents for the projects that'll be before you tonight, and met with the vendor to talk about machinery for pumping material at the gravel pit. Then we had another meeting to discuss a less expensive remedy to prolong the life of the gravel pit. Hopefully, a project scoping document will be forthcoming at some point, if we decide that that's the best way to go. Finally, John Barry received a letter from Fish and Game for Ian's project at the DRC that we don't need a permit to reroute the ditch for the bale fill expansion, but we do have to, of course, apply for an Army Corps permit to move that ditch, which that'll be the next step. And then hopefully we can either get partial funding to phase in that project so we can begin it, this late spring. So that's what I have. There's lots going on. I'm not going to belabor the borough stuff because that's coming later in the meeting. So if anybody has any questions, let me know.
Are there any clarifying questions from council members? I don't see anybody online or in council chambers. Thank you, Kathy. And I understand you may be leaving about 9 o'clock or so.
Well, 9 or 9, I probably 9:20 at the latest.
Okay.
Because I do have to go and pick up somebody at the airport because I have their car. So.
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up we have the first opportunity for the public to comment on non-agenda items. And it's not intended for discussion, but just for non-agenda items. If you would like to make a public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief, possibly 2 minutes if necessary. And are there any members of the public at this time that wish to comment on non-agenda items? Okay, Kimberly, I see you have your hand.
Well, actually, at this point, I think I was trying to ask a question of Kat Leary about the TSA. May I still do that?
Oh, no, that's an agenda item, I believe, because it was discussed.
I had my hand up.
But the purpose of the questions following the reports is for council clarifying questions.
Oh, okay. So
yes,
I just need to know if it's.
I know it's our procedure. If you'd like to want to go ahead and send it to us by email, we can get you a response to that.
Okay, I just need to know soon because otherwise I got to start working out of Juno. So, yeah, if the jet's not coming here, so I need to make that decision quick. That's all I need to know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and James, would you like to ask a question or make a comment? I'm sorry. I see your hand up, but you're muted. Is this Jim Kearns? We'll need to have you unmute your microphone. There you go.
Hello, there I am. I had to push the OK button. Hi, yeah, this is Jim Kearns. Two things I wanted to comment on. I'm going to start doing it pretty regular too, by the way. First off, the dock. We got to do something about a wave barrier for that dock. It just always is crazy that we don't have something going in the works that we can put something up there to protect that dock for all the users, whether they be commercial users or private users, or even if we are going to have some freight come in that way. I mean, we just have to have protection on that dock. So I'd be willing to help anybody on anything with that. But I'd like you to keep that in your minds and maybe come up with something on that. Go out to the gravel pits is the pits. And everybody knows it. And that's a heavily used road. I mean, the gravel pit and all the travel that goes up and down that road because of the gravel pit use. The Rink Creek people that live out there with the residents and the lodges and the businesses. And then even we have our hydro plant out there. And so if you're going to go out to the hydro plant, you got to go on Wilson Road. And I just think that we need to start looking at a way to get it paved. And I'll be glad to help out on that too, but it needs to be paved. It's pretty bad. Okay. Thank you much. Oh, and just, I hope that the city council is going to to, you know, put something out there for the borough about that borough proposal. I noticed that Tenneke and Elfin Cove and even Juneau have all put something in there from their cities. So be good if we put something out. So glad to help out with that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And we do have that resolution with an attachment on the agenda for tonight.
Perfect. Awesome. I think I heard that too.
Okay.
All right. So, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And so I see you have your hand up, but this is for public comment on non-agenda items.
Yeah, I just want to remind folks that the tsunami siren tomorrow is going to go off on between 2 and 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. That's all.
Okay, thank you for the alert.
Yeah.
Right, 2 and 2:30. Okay. Would any other members of the public wish to comment at this time? Okay. And there'll be another opportunity towards the end of the meeting. Now we come to the consent agenda. And there are six items on the agenda. We will go through them and have a brief report about each item and explain the item. And then we'll have a decision about whether if any members of the public or council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda. And I would ask the Treasurer Ben Sadler if he could come and talk to us about some of these items.
I'm sorry, I was typing an email. Shall I heard my name, but not.
Oh, could you give a brief description about the consent agenda items 5 and 6?
Yes, the NCO for returning unused capital projects funds. Those are capital projects that we had that we completed. And so based on our AMLIP policy, the money when the project was approved by the council, the money was put into the current AMLIP account where it has been sitting, waiting to either be moved into the checking account to cover the cost of the projects or moved back into the original account, which in this case was long-term capital projects. The projects were completed. We did not need to move the money into the checking account. So now we're just transferring it from AMLIP current back into AMLIP long-term. The COLA resolution, each year the council, the treasurer provides the council with updated cost of living allowance resolution. This year the COLA for Anchorage was 1.8%. That is the resolution for the council to approve or to not approve. And I think that's the only two things in the
consent agenda. But actually, I'd like if you could also, since we have you at the table, talk about items 11 and 12 and just give a quick explanation of what they are.
So item 11 is the previously introduced NCO to move the surplus from the checking account into AMLIP, where we will start receiving interest on it, which currently we aren't in the checking account. That's for $200,000. This was introduced at last month's general meeting, and it's up for public comment this tonight. And item 12 is the gravel pit awards. Each year, the city solicits a few companies in town with the ability to work the gravel pits. This year we had three responses, the same three as in previous years, Gustavus Landscaping, Glacier Bay Construction, and Fairweather Construction. And so assuming that the council awards the contracts to them, I have the contracts made up. They just need to be signed and by both the mayor and the companies themselves.
Okay.
So those are the two items.
Thank you, Ben. Mm-hmm. And if no one objects, I would like to excuse Ben at this time.
I have a question for Ben, just to clarify.
Can you turn your microphone on?
So this is Janine, and I just had a clarifying question. Can you tell us what the capital projects were that had the unused funds?
Off the top of my head, I would have to go back and look at my computer, but I'm almost positive that it was the septic storage facility returned $13,000, the hardened beach trail, sure what the dollar amount was there, and the cul-de-sacs, the improvement to the cul-de-sacs. I believe those were the three. It should be listed on the NCO, which again, like I said, I don't have in front of me, unfortunately, but
Okay.
I believe those are the three.
Okay, we'll take up that discussion when we discuss the item. All right.
No,
Thank
there
you,
you go.
Ben.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. So I actually asked him to comment on 11, which is an ordinance for public hearing, and 12 under new business, just the convenience of having him available. Number 7 is the approve the CIP project nomination, and I believe that should probably say long form
Point
for.
of order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want to read the resolution 2403? It's a resolution, so I think we need to read it.
What number are you referring to?
That's number six.
I
He
think we can
told us
hold.
about that, but we didn't read the resolution, was
Okay.
my point. It's just
Okay.
point that we normally are supposed to do, I think.
Sure. I think that I would like to do that when we take that item, when we discuss that specific item. Right now, we're just scrolling through the 6 different consent agenda items to see whether we want them to remain in consent or be moved to new business.
So we would read it before we vote on it at some
Absolutely.
point. Okay.
Okay, so Ian, could you talk about the DRC bail fill expansion?
I would be happy to. So the bail fill expansion project has the goal of expanding our landfill because right now it is towards its end of life. And our original landfill, which lasted us roughly 30 years, I think 94 was the last burn. And that's quite a long time, I thought. And so I drew up a plan that essentially we would expand the landfill to have as much, essentially an equal footprint to what we started with the goal of having at least 20 years of capacity for solid waste and anything else that might need to go in there. So essentially, we would expand an area about an acre and we would fence it, and it would be where we place our solid waste. And the remaining area that's fenced in currently, I would probably just leave for things like construction demolition waste because it's right there by the scale house, and it'd be easy for people to dump things there. But it's something that needs to happen pretty soon because of the end of life. And I don't really want to go up any higher with our landfill because right now it's essentially equal height to our fence. And I feel like it would start to become pretty obtrusive at that point. Our only alternative to expanding the landfill would be shipping out waste, which I did some rough calculations and it would be very expensive. What I estimated is, say, we did 10 shipments a year at around $5,000 a piece, it would be 50,000 just to ship it out. And the landfill project, I calculated it would be a little bit over $100,000 to do it. So with just over 2 years, the project would pay for itself. And for the most part, I don't feel like there's any downsides to expanding the landfill other than it would be something that would be visible and people might not like that, but at least with the way that we currently handle our waste, it would be pretty neat and tidy. And I do have plans to try and camouflage it the best I can from public view, which is what Paul did many years ago. A lot of the alders, the spruce trees and all that, those are, or at least the alders I know Paul planted,
Okay.
but none of that was there in our original landfill.
Okay.
So
Okay. That's good. Thank you. If we don't move it in, if we move it into new business, there may be more details and more conversation questions about it. Thank you. The
you're
next
welcome.
item is Sol. Is Sol still online? The fire chief? Okay. So did you want to give a summary of the Gustavus GVFD heating system?
Sure. Yeah. The this is essentially kind of the same thing. We just moved the short form to the long form. It essentially is because our current heating system is on the way out, and hopefully it will last a little bit longer. But the hope is to, the full project is the hope to replace it with a Toyo stove with heat pumps. It is recommended to at least two Toyo stoves for the downstairs with at least one heat pump with two discharges. But this is going to project be done in two stages. First stage is just get a Toyo stove down in the garage. It's basically to act as a backup just in case the current heating system does kick out before we are before the project is done, essentially. The building itself, at least the footprint, is 2,000 square feet. The largest, 2,000 and just over 2,000 feet square feet. The largest Toyo stove is only covers 2,000 square foot, so that's where it comes along the line. It's recommended maybe getting two Toyo stoves later down the road.
Actually,
of course,
well, I think that we'll save these details if it the item gets moved into new business. But thank you. If you could stand by.
Okay.
Item number 9, Mike. A brief summary of the development form for the Wilson Road South End damage drainage.
Sure. This is a project that Mayor Shelley has been wanting to see done for several years, I think, at least 2 years. And so we're trying finally to make progress. I agree that it's a priority item on improving drainage. We have problems with the flooding that occurs on along Wilson, the south end of Wilson Road, essentially from far away to the intersection and the lots nearby, particularly the lot on, it would be the northeast corner. So this scoping document is enough to authorize the project for us to proceed to develop it. Exactly how it will be done, we don't have a design yet on it, and we haven't solve the problem of where to direct the water once we get down to Four Corners. So there's more work to do on that, but this at least authorizes the project to proceed in the development stage. We don't have any funding identified for it, so funding would have to come later via an NCO once we have a more accurate cost estimate. So that's what that's about.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And then number 10, Liesl, Madam Clerk, could you talk about the certificate of records destruction?
Yes, so we have our retention schedule, and every couple months I try to go through it and make sure that we're pulling out anything that is done with how long we have to keep it. And then we fill out this nice report. And once you guys approve it, then I will destroy the records. We can actually get in trouble with higher authorities if they were to come and find that we were holding on to records longer than we were supposed to, according to our retention schedule. So it's just an important item that we keep up on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, do any members of the public, having heard the 6 different items on the consent agenda, wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, I don't see any hands listed on Zoom. Do any council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, go ahead, Janine.
Yes, thanks. I would like to remove the 3 CIP project developments. The bail
Can you get them by numbers?
7, 8, and 9.
Okay. And move them into new business?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, Madam Clerk. Okay. All right. And we will be discussing them after we have the next item. The next item, number 11, is FY24-10 NCO surplus transfer.
Madam Mayor. We need to, one, read the resolution, and then we need to have a motion to approve the consent agenda minus those items that Council Member Driscoll just had moved.
Okay, so we should go ahead and read the resolution.
Yes, so we need to finish the consent agenda. So we need to read number six, and then we can proceed with motions and voting.
Okay, thank you. Can we pull up the resolution for item number six?
I'd be happy to read that as well.
Thank you, Brian.
I'll just wait till we've got it pulled up on the screen for everyone. There we are. This is a resolution CY24-03, a resolution providing for a cost of living pay adjustment for City of Gustavus employees in regular positions. Whereas the Gustavus City Council adopted an employee payment and earnings policy on June 8, 2006, and whereas the Gustavus City Council adopted resolution 2011-23 on December 8, 2011, which updates the section of the employment payment and earnings policy entitled pay raises, and whereas the adopted policy of pay raises states that the Gustavus City Council may grant from time to time by resolution periodic adjustments to the city's pay schedule, the City Council will consider the cumulative change in the consumer price index Anchorage since the last pay adjustment in formulating such adjustments. Such periodic pay adjustments, if any, will apply to all regular position employees of the City of Gustavus. A regular position is a full-time or part-time year-round position in which the city or in which the employee generally works the same schedule every week, although actual hours each week may vary with season or with workload. And whereas in adopting this policy, the Gustavus City Council has determined that adjusting the pay of its regular position employees in an amount equal to the change in the consumer price index for Anchorage and the standard measure of CPI for Alaska is appropriate. And whereas the logical time to approve the cost of living pay adjustment is before the Gustavus City Council has adopted the next fiscal year budget. And whereas the consumer price index CPI for Anchorage rose 1.8% for the calendar year 2023, now therefore be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council grants a 1.8% cost of living pay adjustment to the current hourly rates, non-exempt, and base salary exempt for all regular position employees effective July 1st, 2024.
Okay, thank you. So now we have we'll have a motion to adopt the consent agenda with the exclusion of items 7, 8, and 9. And Councilmember Jim Muscoviac, would you like to make that motion?
I move the council approve the consent agenda. Consent agenda minus items 7, 8, and 9 by unanimous consent.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay. And Brian seconds. Okay. There's a motion to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent with the exception of items 7, 8, and 9. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Okay. No. People are shaking their heads. Okay, hearing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Now we are moving on to item number 11, the ordinance for public hearing, which we've had, Ben had gave us a description of it. And the time is 7:50, and agenda item number 11 is open for public testimony. 7:50. Do any members of the public wish to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none. Hearing no comment from the public. It is now 7:51 p.m. And the public hearing for item number 11, the FY24-10 NCO surplus transfer of AMLIP capital project long term, which was introduced January 6, 2024, is closed. Do we have a council member wishing to make a motion to adopt the agenda item?
Is that me? I'm sorry. Yeah, right. So are you ready for a motion or not? I'm sorry, I got behind there.
Motion to adopt. We'll have debate after the motion. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes. Ready for the motion. Okay. Yeah. I move to approve FY20. I didn't write one here. Yeah. FY24-10 NCO, the surplus transfer to AMLIP of capital project long term.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Item number 11, motion to approve FY24-10 NCO surplus transfer to AMLIP capital project long term. Motion moved by Mike and seconded by Janine. And is there now debate on this motion? Do council members wish to address this motion? Okay, I don't see any hands raised. Okay. Are we ready for the question? Okay. Okay, the question is on the adoption of number item 11, FY24-10 NCO surplus transfer to AMLIP capital project long term. May I have a roll call vote, Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. And we have no unfinished business before us tonight. Moving on to new business. I guess we'll proceed with the items that were moved from the consent agenda, item number 7. Is there a motion to approve the CIP project nomination long form for the DRC Balefill expansion?
Madam Mayor. Yes. I move to approve CIP project development form for the DRC Balefill expansion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay. Was that Rachel? Yes. Thank you, Rachel.
Yes.
Okay. It is moved by Mike and seconded by Rachel to approve CIP project nomination long form for DRC Balefill expansion. And as the maker of the motion, Mike, did you want to provide an additional summary or any comment about this?
I think our landfill manager or DRC manager has given us an excellent description of what it's about. If people need more details, he'd be the best source. Certainly this is a project that's vital to the future of our community to have a means of dealing with our solid waste. So the expansion is something that he's on top of, and I think we're going to need to support it.
Okay. Is there any more council comment? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yes, thanks. So just I'd like to understand better what the process is if as we go forward. So like I'm not quite sure and I'm not sure. So we've got this project. We don't know the funding of it, but we want to support it. So what happens after? Like, so let's hypothetically say we vote to pass this. What happens next? And how does this come to reality? Like, what do we have to do?
Ian here. So, Janine, pretty much if this was approved, the steps would be to prepare the area essentially for a fence. And let me roll back a little bit. The first thing that needs to be happening is we have a drainage ditch that's on the DRC land. That's kind of, it's in the way and it's needs to be rerouted so we can have more efficient use of land. It takes up approximately 10,000 square feet of usable space. So the first step would be to reroute that. And then essentially it would just be a little bit of tree cutting because there's some trees that are in the vicinity of the new area, and then purchase the fencing and install it. It's a large project and it does take up a fair sum of money, but overall it's pretty simple because it's just a matter of keeping wildlife out with the fence and making sure we're not not being, we want to be environmentally sustainable. So
part of my question was, what does the council need to do to make it so that you can make it happen? I'm not questioning that. I mean, your plan seems very specific in terms of how it's going to happen. But what's unclear to me is, like, how do, I've never been involved, I guess, in a big project like this before. And so I don't know the steps that the council goes through in terms of either the funding or saying yay or nay. Some of these, when they seem to be ideas, like, so Mike was saying that for the drainage one, it was just approving it to proceed to develop it. So this seems to be like we've gone past that stage in terms of, and we're, once we voted, then it, does it mean that we're voting to fund it and to have it happen, or are there more steps involved?
Mike, did you want to address this, or Kathy, or Kathy Leary, perhaps?
Yeah, I can speak to that, Shelley, if you'd like.
Make sure that it happens as quickly as possible.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
So first of all, we have to put this document forward because of the cost of the project. Originally, just to get it into the capital document, the capital request document, they had filled out a short form, but because it required more extensive information, they now completed a long form. Additionally to that, if the council approves this, regardless of how we fund it, it's a tool we can use to pursue funding because the council has approved it. Now, whether we self-fund it through an NCO because we find that it's, you know, timing's critical and it needs to be done, or whether we use it to see if we can find alternative funding, this is the first step in it. If it gets to the point where we're not able to secure funding from another source, then we can use it to put an NCO forward for a project to the council. I hope that helps.
Thank you for the explanation. Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Once we, yeah, we will have to determine what the funding source is, you know, and as Ian develops the project, we already have some cost estimates I noticed in the scoping document, so that's really helpful. But once we've decided what our source of funding is, then we'll have to appropriate that to the capital project. So we've got an NCO to introduce and then approve at a second meeting. And there's work here that presumably is going to have to be contracted. So you'll have to develop contract documents and put it out to bid, probably by the RFQ format, of select a contractor through that process. And then the city or the council would have to award the contract to the to the successful bidder, and the project manager would then issue an NTP to construct, and a PO and so forth would go with it. So that's the process. And I assume that Ian, is the expectation that you're the project manager for this?
I would be under the assumption that is correct.
Madam Clerk?
Yeah, so Councilmember Driscoll, in our policies and procedures, there's actually a flow chart that I can try to send to you that might help you understand the process a little bit better of how the CIP and the different forms all kind of come together to help make a project happen. So if you don't get an email from me tomorrow, send me one to remind me, and I'll get that your way, okay?
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? And let's see. Do we have a motion to adopt CFU project nomination long form for the DRC Balefill expansion?
I think we started with that, didn't we? Yeah. So we've got that. We just need to vote, I think.
Okay. So we have the motion and the second. Are we ready for the question? Okay. Looks like we are. Okay, Madam Clerk, could you okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just wanted to make sure that we'd had an opportunity for public comment. Yes, if you could do the roll call vote.
Yes. Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. And moving on to item number 8. Is there a motion to approve the CIP project development form for the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department heating system?
I can.
I move to approve the CIP project development form for the Volunteer Fire Department heating system.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. Janine,
I'll second.
Okay, Janine. Okay, there is a motion. It is moved by Rachel and seconded by Janine to approve the CIP project development form for the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department heating system. And as the maker of the motion, Rachel, did you want to describe the project further than it's already been described by the fire chief?
Nope. Sounds like, you know, we got to keep things warm or else they don't work. And we need everything at the fire department to work. So that sounds good to me.
Okay. Thank you. is there any public comment at this time? Any members of the public on Zoom wish to comment? And not seeing any hands raised. Are we ready for the question?
Council comment.
Council comment. Yes, Jeannie.
Yes. So again, maybe I'm asking this perhaps for myself as well as maybe for the fire chief is once we pass this, then what are the next steps? Because I see there's various stages. And so do we have to approve each stage individually or once we approve this, what direction do we give to Seoul in terms of going forward?
Does anyone want to answer that question?
City administrator, maybe.
Do you want me to?
Yes, please. Thank you, Kathy.
So this too.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, basically it's the same thing. The project costs were kind of steep and we don't know yet the amount of units. We know what we should have. We are, Mark Berry is going to be from Berry Specialty Contract will be giving us another description of what he feels is needed in there. But for one thing that is for sure is we do need to get at least one toy in there sooner rather than later because of the condition of the boiler. So we decided to divide it up into two phases. We will likely, we may have enough in equipment. We don't know that for sure to get the one toy, but if not, we'll be moving an NCO forward for either one or both phases of the project at some point soon.
And then, so we put, when we have projects, we put a certain amount in for replacements. So will this come out of that budget? Because this, we are replacing already, there's been a heater system in place and then it's now gotten to its age and it needs to be replaced. Does the money come out of a replacement fund? And is that how the whole works? I'm just like some clarification on that.
Kathy,
that's a possibility. that yes, it could potentially come out of there, because we can't replace the existing boiler, and we can't really repair it. So it's a possibility that part of the project could come out of that fund, yes. But that won't be detailed until we move forward asking for funds. This is like saying, yes, we understand this is a need. These are the details, and we approve of these details. It also lets us, again, it provides us with something that says you agree this needs to be done, and if we have the possibility of pursuing other funds other than our own, we have something to back it up.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Oh yes, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I have some real problems with this, but I'm not going to vote against it because I do think we do need to keep the project moving forward, and having the document approved is helpful, and especially if we're looking for outside grants, as Kathy has noted. But the approach to this is highly unusual. It sounds like what the fire chief has in mind here is a sole source purchase. And this is a pretty large thing for a sole source purchase. A project like this should go out to bid, and it should have a proper design and bid documents, and so that the potential bidders know what they're bidding, and that's how the public contracting process works. So I think we have some work to do on this process, and I would still recommend that you get a mechanical engineering consultant in at least to review the scope and what you're thinking the project is, and make sure that the engineer agrees and that the heat calcs on the building are done. Working from a mere square footage doesn't tell you much about how much heat is going to be lost through the walls at various temperatures, which is what the heat calcs do. While I think the idea will probably work just fine, I'm not certain of it, and I'm a little concerned, if we don't put it out to bid, that we're not doing it the right way. So some more work to do on it, but I will support moving forward with it with that sort of caveat.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like we've done in the past with other things, if we phase the project into two phases, it won't be costing that much overall. And if we buy the unit like we did, for example, even though we didn't buy the heat pumps, they were provided to us and we installed them, we could buy the unit ourselves and then find somebody to install it. So I think we don't have to look at the entire cost of the project all at one time for something that necessarily has to go out to bid, in my estimation.
Okay. Mike, did you want to respond?
No, my position remains the same.
Okay. And I don't see any other comment. Are we ready for the question? Okay. Madam Clerk, could you do a roll call?
Council Member Taylor?
Yes.
Council Member Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Council Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, next item is item number 9, to approve the CIP project development form for Wilson Road South and Drainage. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor?
Okay.
I move to approve the CIP project development form for the Wilson Road South End Drainage Project.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. It is moved by Mike and seconded by Janine to approve the CIP project development form for Wilson Road South End Drainage. And do any members of the public wish to address this issue? Okay, seeing no hands raised, how about council members? Do any council members want to comment? Okay, go ahead, Janine.
So, yes, thank you. So I see that, as would be expected, that there's the maybe on the PFAS contamination. And I realize this is a document to help us proceed to develop it. But I just like to make sure that when we develop it, we take and look at the PFAS and make sure that that we have a plan in place or some way to document that we're not exacerbating a problem that we already have. And so I'm glad to see that it's in there as a maybe, and I'm hoping to see, and I don't have an answer as to what that's going to be, but I think we need to make sure that we take this seriously in terms of looking at how the PFAS in that area will affect this project.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Once we know what we're going to do, like where we're going to excavate and where we're going to put culverts in and so forth, that gives us an idea of what the potential impacts might be. And then we need to probably do some sampling. Because the northern end of the project particularly is sort of in the area where that plume has been. Now, whether it's a problem at the ditch height or much lower instead, I don't know, but it's not unreasonable to do some sampling, at least to the depth that we're going to excavate.
Okay. Thank you. Any other council comment, debate? Okay. Are we ready for the question? Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, that moves us to the, let's see, looks like we did number 11, and we're moving on to item number 12, to award the gravel pit contracts under new business. Is there a motion to award the gravel pit contracts?
Yes. Okay. I move to award the gravel pit contracts to Fairweather Construction for 5,000 cubic yards, Glacier Bay Construction Incorporated for 5,000 cubic yards, and Gustavus Landscaping and Construction for 1,500 cubic yards.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mike seconds it. Okay, the motion to award the gravel pit contracts to Fairweather Construction for 5,000 cubic yards, Glacier Bay Construction, Inc. for 5,000 cubic yards, and Gustavus Landscaping and Construction for 1,500 cubic yards. Motion was made by Janine and seconded by Mike. Is there any public comment about at this time?
Point of order. I know we kind of already did a summary, but if we have people who've attended later, could we give a quick summary of what this is before we do public comment?
Okay. You mean, if Ben gave some comment, do we have someone else who can speak to this? Mike, can you speak to it? Or should I see if Kathy can?
Yeah, why do we have Kathy, since she's the city administrator, and she would be administering this? That's probably better than me.
I'm sorry, you guys kind of cut out. What are you asking me to?
Can you give us a summary of item number 12, the motion to award the gravel pit contracts?
Well, basically, they're sent out every year to the same folks who utilize the gravel pits every year. And they give an estimate of what kind of and what the amounts of material that they believe they will be extracting from the pits that have traditionally been assigned to them. And it's just a process by which it allows them to go in and remove said gravel, for which they reimburse the city as they extract it.
Okay.
Might add that it's at $6 a cubic yard.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out.
I just confirmed it was at $6 a cubic yard, I believe, right?
Yes, for now, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, are we ready for the question? I'm sorry, I thought we already did that. Okay, do any members of the public wish to comment on this? Okay, any members of the council wish to debate? I'm seeing no hands. Are we ready for the roll call?
Sorry about the delay, Madam Mayor. All right. Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Madam Mayor.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we now? We are up to item
13.
Item number 13, motion to approve CY 2404 resolution by the City of Gustavus supporting House Bill 279, an act relating to the Local Boundary Commission. Let's see here.
Yeah, motion from
yes.
Jim.
Yes. Okay. I didn't know whether to give a summary of it prior to getting the motion. Nope. Okay, Madam Clerk says no. Okay, is there a motion?
I move to approve resolution CY24-04, the City of Gustavus supporting House Bill 279, an act relating to the Local Boundary Commission.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, sounds like Janine beat you to it, Brian. Okay, so we have motion to approve resolution CY24-04, the City of Gustavus supporting House Bill 279, an act relating to the Local Boundary Commission, moved by Jim and seconded by Janine. And
yeah, we need to read the resolution.
Okay, sure. And Janine is offered to read it.
A resolution by the City of Gustavus supporting HB 279, an act relating to the Local Boundary Commission. Whereas the Alaska Local Boundary Commission, LBC, serves a vital role statewide in evaluating and enabling new cities, boroughs, and boundary adjustments. And whereas the LBC is composed of 5 members, one from each of the 4 judicial districts, plus one at-large member serving as chair. And whereas all current members reside in organized boroughs, and there is no requirement that any member be appointed from the unorganized borough, and whereas the Alaska Constitution Article 10, Paragraph 3 states, the entire state shall be divided into boroughs, organized or unorganized. And whereas 6 decades after statehood, large areas of the state remain in the unorganized borough. And whereas much of Alaska will likely remain outside any organized borough for decades, regardless of whether the state urges regions to organize or not, due to the difficult and lengthy borough formation process. And whereas cities in the unorganized borough rely on LBC services for initial formation and boundary adjustments, whether or not they intend to form a borough. And whereas many unorganized borough residents are served by their local governments in the form of cities, without apparent need or wish nor the capacity for an additional layer of regional government. And whereas the City of Gustavus, a second-class city within the unorganized borough, benefited from LBC services at its formation in 2004 and again with the annexation of Falls Creek Hydroelectric Facility lands in 2010. And whereas many unorganized regions would struggle to form a borough which meets the minimum 1,000 population standard and the adequate provision of services in a large geographic area.
And whereas many regions would struggle to form a borough that is truly in the best interest of the state and can provide regional services effectively and economically over vast areas with disconnected communities having few shared interests. And whereas for many unorganized borough residents, the best government is at most a city or perhaps no municipality at all. And whereas residents in the unorganized borough have rural lifestyles and at most small town local government perspectives differing from those in larger municipalities. And whereas requiring that at least one member of the LBC shall be a resident of the unorganized borough would help to assure that the perspective of residents of the unorganized borough is appreciated on the commission. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Gustavus City Council concludes that the Local Boundary Commission will be serving the needs of the unorganized borough for decades to come, and therefore encourages passage of HB 279 to ensure that the voice of the unorganized borough is heard, welcomed, and understood in commission deliberations.
Thank you, Janine. And I guess I'll give a little bit of a summary of this. Well, first of all, after we sent out the first packet, there were amended documents that got sent out in the second packet. And this one had one word change in the second whereas from comprised changed to composed, just to let you all know that we made the changes. I got a thumbs up on that one.
Thank you.
So this is a bill introduced by Representative Kronk from Tok, I believe, who and there's two sections to it. In some ways, our resolution is almost lengthier than the bill itself, but there's two components. The first is that of the five members of the Local Boundary Commission appointed by the governor, that requiring that one member shall be appointed from an unorganized borough, and that the members from each judicial district must maintain a principal place of abode and be registered to vote in a precinct in that district. And that's it's interesting that listening to testimony that there are currently two members on the Local Boundary Commission, both from Eagle River. So this is a way of assuring that in the midst of a large borough petition that, although this wouldn't, I don't think it would, take effect until January 31st, 2025, that the unorganized borough have a voice. The second item would require that for each community in the state, a record of the community's population, according to the most recent decennial census conducted by the United States Bureau of Census, requires the Local Boundary Commission to maintain census records. Okay, and that being said, is there any public comment about this bill? I don't see any. Do members of the council wish to speak to or debate on this bill? Nope. And are we ready for the question? We are ready for the question. Madam Clerk, could you do the roll call vote?
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. And item number 14 is an item to approve CY 2405-85 resolution disputing the qualifications of the petition submitted by the City of Hoonah for incorporation of the Hoonah Borough. You want me to read it?
I think I need to do the motion first, if I may.
Okay.
I move to approve resolution CY 2405 disputing the qualifications of the petition submitted by the City of Hoonah for incorporation of the Hoonah Borough.
Okay, and do we have a second?
I'll second
that.
Okay, Janine. Thank you, but Brian. All right, so we have a motion by Mike, seconded by Janine, to move to approve Resolution CY24-05, disputing the qualifications of the petition submitted by the City of Hoonah for incorporation of the Hoonah Borough. And again, this is one that was, we had a consultant, Jim
Ben Oberst,
who assisted the city in the annexation of the Falls Creek area, and he provided some comments on this. So this one is slightly, it's been slightly different from the one that was first posted. It has minor grammatical changes and slight clarifications on the change. Mike, did you want to just give a mention about Jim and his qualifications and why he was consulting on this?
Sure. We were so fortunate to have the assistance of Jim Van Altborst. As we face an important presentation to the position to the LBC, Jim was the city administrator of Craig and the city manager in Ketchikan for many years. He's also consulted on issues of boroughization and boundary changes, including for the city of Gustavus in 2010 or so, when at that time the city was faced with a possible formation of a Hoonah borough around us, as is being done now, and with the idea that we would be excluded from it. But we were worried about whether our hydro facility, which was not then within the city limits, would be out of our control. So with Jim's help, we went through a successful annexation process with local boundary commission to add the Falls Creek area and also the waters between our dock and Pleasant Island, where we have anchorages, so that we have city authority out there. His assistance has always been very professional and knowledgeable, and our success in the past, I think, is we have much to thank Jim for the successes that we've had in the past on that. And he's been an excellent advisor to us at times for just general processes in our city. So that's a bit on Jim, and we're lucky to have his thoughts on this. He really helped us frame the central argument in the petition that says that the biggest problem with the petition is that they have not really proposed to form a regional government, and a borough is to be a regional government. And that's, in Jim's view, a fatal flaw for the petition. So we've adopted that as the central theme in the petition.
Thank you. Do we have a volunteer to read it? Okay, Janine has offered to read it. So I
have the email that just came today.
Is that, yes. Is it on the screen?
I'm going to read it on.
Right.
It's not in the email.
Can you read it on this? Well, this is the one that's on the screen.
Okay, I can read it.
But if you can read it, if mine's a little bigger than yours. Okay. Oh, here.
This is the latest.
Mm-hmm. There, that's even better.
A resolution disputing the qualifications, City of Gustavus, Alaska, Resolution CY24-05. A resolution disputing the qualifications of the petition submitted by the City of Hoonah for incorporation of the Hoonah Borough. Whereas the City of Hoonah has petitioned the Local Boundary Commission to form the Hoonah Borough across a 10,400 square mile area comprising much of Chichikov Island, Icy Strait, Glacier Bay National Park, and the Gulf of Alaska, which encompasses but excludes the cities of Gustavus, Pelican, and Tanakee Springs. And whereas the Local Boundary Commission is reviewing the petition and accepting comment with regard to whether the petition meets the standards for incorporation of a borough and is in the best interest of the state. And whereas the establishment of a new borough is in the best interest of the state only if the proposed borough is a true regional government that bridges multiple communities in the region with shared interests, that will serve the needs of the people living and working in the region now and for the foreseeable future, and that is formed and desired by the people in the region.
And whereas the Hoona Borough is designed arguably to encompass lands that were traditional homeland to and used by Hoona Tlingit people in past centuries, regardless of the distribution of population and land uses during the 20th and 21st centuries. And whereas while the long history of Hoona Tlingit present in the region is acknowledged and rightfully celebrated by all the people, all the region's people, the boundaries of historical tribal lands and influences are not relevant to, nor for the purpose of, the formation of a regional borough government. And whereas the three excluded cities have a combined population nearing that of the city of Hoona, but do not believe that a regional borough government or its services are needed. And whereas the Hoona Borough expressively neither foresees nor plans to provide services beyond the city of Hoona, with the exception of taxation of activities and sales across the unserved region. Whereas the proposed Hoona Borough is not a true regional government and would be a de facto annexation of vast geographical and unpopulated areas for the exclusive benefit of the city of Hoona, Hoona Townsite Service Area, and to the detriment of the cities and communities within the proposed borough region. And whereas the proposed boundaries would confine the cities of Gustavus, Pelican, and Tanaki Springs in constricted and non-contiguous enclaves within the broader region, without apparent consideration of relevant constitutional, statutory, and regulatory standards, and inhibiting actual collaboration, if not actually preventing them from ever uniting in their own regional borough if desired. And whereas on the short term, the proposed borough boundaries directly threaten the viability of the excluded communities through potential loss of federal and state revenues that support their communities and are vital to their success, and on the longer term, impair and constrain the potential for forming a new borough or merging with a compatible adjoining borough as a means of enhancing future economic growth and development in service of their residents and businesses. And whereas the city of Gustavus provides in an attachment a detailed review of the petition, refuting among other things Hoona's claim to be a regional hub upon which the regional communities are dependent. Now therefore it be resolved that the city council of Gustavus finds that the Hoona borough petition fails to qualify the proposed area for incorporation as a borough, and therefore that its formation is not in the best interest of the state of Alaska, nor the people living or working in Gustavus, Pelican, Tanaki Springs, Elfin Cove, or throughout the occupied or unoccupied areas proposed for incorporation outside of Hoona. And be it further resolved that the City Council of Gustavus urges the Local Boundary Commission to find that the Hoona Borough petition fails to meet the standards for incorporation and rejects it for failure to meet the best interests of the state, its political subdivisions, and the 49 people residing in the communities proposed for annexation. And be it further resolved that if a borough government is to be formed in the Icy Strait region, it should be through the initiative and will of the people and all the communities of the region working together to form a regional government that serves the best interests of those communities and the state of Alaska. Until such time, the communities in the region will continue to be served best by their existing independent local municipalities.
Thank you, Janine. Well done. Resolution, and also on the screen right now, is an attachment to the City of Gustavus Resolution 20 CY 2405. It's seven pages long, and we're not going to read it, but it's posted on our website, and if anyone would like to receive a copy, just contact the city clerk and we can send it out to you. It's also had some tweaks from the time that it was first posted for the work session. And some of those are grammatical and sort of correcting using active tense rather than passive verb tense, and then a clarification which helped us move forward. So at this time, let's see, we have a motion and a second. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the resolution? Okay, seeing none, how about the council? Do council members want to debate this item? Might go ahead.
I don't have anything to debate, but I want to thank you for the huge amount of work you did to assemble this. And that your attachment with all the details that supports the general thrust of the resolution is really good. So I think we've made a pretty powerful argument here, and we'll hope the LBC finds it persuasive.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you also for the immense amount of work and talent that you put into helping draft this. Okay. Yes, go ahead, Jenny.
And I just want to echo that support as well, and really think this was very well thought out and very well stated in terms of all the work you've put into it. And I would certainly suggest that any of the community members, if you're interested, do go ahead and read that other amendment or attachment part, because it's very informative. And if you are wanting to make your own comments, there's lots of information that might be helpful to you in that.
That's a good point. Yeah. The Local Boundary Commission, which you can get to by Googling Local Boundary Commission Alaska, has the, if you go to current and former, on the right-hand side in the menu, current and former petitions, it shows the, well, first of all, you can see we'd have a 4-inch binder down here. You're also welcome to come take a look, but you can look at it online. And there's the comments are being posted there. So it's pretty entertaining seeing all of the different comments from all the communities, including Sitka. And the deadline for comments is the 29th at 5 p.m. And they can be submitted in writing or by email to lbc@alaska.gov. Okay, so are we ready for the question? Okay.
Just briefly before we go to our vote here, if the public is looking for those that attachment to the resolution, it's in the meeting agenda and packet online right now. Once we have officially submitted to the LBC, then it will go on to our correspondence page on the website. But right now you would go to the meeting agenda and packet, and then there's a hyperlink that'll take you straight to it.
Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Having technical problems here. All right. Continuing on, Councilmember Makoviak.
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
And Madam Mayor.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Now we're coming to the fun part. Item 15, coffee with council. And would council members, Rachel, Patrick, I don't think that we have Kyle Bishop with us online tonight. Rachel, did you want to describe? Oh, I see. It's great. There's an attachment here.
Yeah. So we had our first coffee with council, January 27th, and I believe we had a really good turnout. We had about 17 to 25 community members there stopping by, peeking in, you know, listening. And everybody was mostly questioning the boundary commission situation and the TNC land situation, as those were the hottest topics at that time and still are. And so there's a lot of just back and forth with that. Me and Kyle were there to listen, and that's what we did. And it was really cool to be involved with all of that, because it was like a big roundtable discussion where everybody in the community was back and forth asking questions, answering each other's questions, bouncing ideas off of each other. And I wrote it all more in detail on my little report here, but mostly people just wanted to know how the city was going to handle the boundary issue, which I think was cleared up tonight. And they really wanted to see a strong front from the city about that, which is what's going on. Then we talked about the city departments and what people like about them, what they're lacking, any over general feelings. And The consensus was volunteers and younger volunteers, because the ones that are there are have been there and they are getting burnt out. They're just overwhelmed. There's too many scheduled events with little turnout and that are heavily relying on their volunteerism. So how do we fix that? I'm not sure. How do we get more volunteers? And then the other main points were, yeah, about the TSA and the airport, which we still are working on. But overall, I was really happy with it. And I know Kyle was happy with it. And I'm thinking that we will have another one maybe at the end of April, if anybody else in the council wants to volunteer for that. But we could talk about that later. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. That's a great report, great written. I really appreciate the fact you took the time to give us the details of what's of interest to people. Do we have any questions or comments from folks?
I'd just like to thank our two council members for doing this. And I think this is the first of what should be a series of these. And you've made a nice model for the rest of us to follow up when it's our turn. Thank you.
Yeah, I see that. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, just want to say that Jesse Keel's office contacted me about the TNC issue, and I supplied them with a number of documents.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. So that's on to the mayor's report. I mentioned the Nature Conservancy lands in my written report. We came across some email correspondence in 2020 between the Nature Conservancy and the city of, and Tom Williams, who was the city administrator at the time, where DNC was proposing that the city of Gustavus accept the parcels of the Gustavus Four lands and the TNC lands. Spurred a conversation that we are going to be having, hopefully bringing it to the next our next meeting, council meeting, about forming a committee. We at the work session talked about a lands committee, but I think the scope and breadth of that may be a little too large right now. That's more in sort of lines of a city department. So I think we are going to be forming a committee so we can talk about how we can partner with TNC and get input from HUNA and how we can just proceed forward in a fairly collaborative session. And I think that's what about that. The borough petition we've talked about tonight at length, and again a reminder that the deadline for public comment is February 29th, and there's pretty interesting if you go to the website, the Local Boundary Commission website, and see what people are commenting. Public access on the Hydro Road, we had a meeting on February 2nd with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission licensing folks to talk about licensing issues as part of the ongoing dispute resolution process between the Olney's and AP&T regarding public access on the Hydro Road. And we had a capital improvement plan work session on January 29th. And then there was a photo of the ribbon cutting on January 20th for the playground equipment at Salmon River Park with Bonfire and Hot Cocoa. And I commented that it is believed to be the first ribbon cutting event in Gustavus history. And Liz Vanderzanden emailed me and she said, the only other ribbon cutting event that happened in Gustavus that I know of was when Joe was working for the Alaska Airlines and the new Gustavus Alaska Airlines terminal was opened. That was in May 1998. The ribbon was cut by Vice President Ed White as we all looked on. Thank you, Liz, for providing that historic update for us.
Yes, the GCC had a ribbon cutting.
Oh my gosh.
They had a big scissors, ribbon. Like a giant scissors thing.
Well, maybe this was the first one on a city facility.
There you go.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, so we didn't have a ribbon cutting at the library, but we did have a shovel. we had a shoveling opening ceremony with the state librarian and several other folks when the award was given for building. But that wasn't what I put my hand up for. I appreciate the work on having the coffee with council, but I would encourage folks, like, the city's doing the best they can to put forward all of the concerns and the objections. Hear from individual people too. So people feel like stuff's been left out and they don't, you know, and they have something else to add, please encourage them to send their own letters in and don't only leave it up to, you know, to just the city or just the Visitors Association, who will be putting something forward as well. The more they hear and the more varied objections that they hear, the better it's going to be for us, because some of those council or those commissioners, are their mission is to get the entire state of Alaska in an, or, you know, some kind of organized borough or boroughs. And there's a couple of them that are, you know, they need to hear more rather than less. So I'm just trying to put it out there to get people to encourage folks to write something if they can. Thank you.
Thank you. And Rachel, you have your hand up?
Yeah, just to kind of speak, like piggyback what Kathy was saying, what me and Kyle did learn was a lot of people had general questions, because this isn't something that, like, you know, how governments work is not what everybody knows, like, every day-to-day person knows. So they had a lot of general questions on what this meant, what that meant. And I have them all the specific questions detailed in my printout. And I would like to all sit down and kind of answer all of these questions and then maybe post this on the website, just so people can see we are listening, we are paying attention, and we want to answer these individual questions that we, especially that we take at Coffee with Council. Just wanted to add that in there.
Good suggestion.
Question maybe related to that. Do we have a training scheduled now for the DCCED rep to come over in March, maybe? Yes.
Yeah, so I was actually with all the LGSs, our legislative specialists, last week for my training. It does not look like we're going to have much luck getting any of them in person here in March, but they do have some online trainings for council members on just how government works and how you can better serve your town through learning these different processes. So we are looking into that. Right now, they are very understaffed. They just brought on a couple folks that they're trying to train, but right now our LGS has about double the amount of folks that they typically have. So they are just trying to get these new people on board and get them trained up. So I think getting them here in person is going to be very difficult. I think my goal is to start planning with them next year for after we have three new council members coming on. And in the meantime, we'll do some online training to kind of hold us over. It's not ideal, but I think it's the best we're going to get.
Thank you.
Could it be possible to do that? They do a Zoom training if they, rather than go through the travel to get here?
Well, that's their online training would be through Zoom. They would actually have different LGSs come on. I think it's over the course of a couple weeks. It's certain days for a time period, and they come on and they teach a lesson, and there's times to ask questions, and then you know, that's it for that day. And it's over over several weeks.
So is it something that's personalized to each city, or is it something that's a canned program?
It's something that it's kind of a canned program. I think if we had additional questions after that base training, then we could reach out to our LGS and maybe schedule a time for follow-up questions with that individual. But based on the training I had last week, they did a really good job of covering multiple things for different size municipalities, you know, tribals versus cities versus boroughs. And it was pretty well done. I was impressed. I learned a lot. So I think they would do well with the elected officials training as well.
Yes.
And then I just have two comments on your report. One is, I think it's just a typo.
about it says on February 26th, the Gustavus Visitors Association had a Zoom meeting, and today is February 20th. So I don't know whether that meant to be January 26th.
Oh, must be.
Under the Hunebrew petition. Mm-hmm. So just a minor detail. And then was there any, like, any information you can share about that meeting on the Hydro Road other than it happened? Was there anything that was discussed or decided or?
Well, it's what they, the way that the dispute resolution process works is that the FERC person meets, you know, with the various parties. We've been able to kind of work our way in, even though we're not an official party. We believe that's where the community is definitely, you know, has a financial and a definitely vested interest. So we were invited to the meeting, which was good. It was primarily to hear from the licensing people. I think Mike could probably describe this a little more eloquently than me.
I guess I can try to give a quick summary. The dispute, of course, is that the Olneys, as owners of the Bear Track Inn, dispute the right of the public to use the Hydro Road as a public easement. However, that access is a requirement of the license for the Falls Creek Hydroelectric Facility. So the AP&T has to have a way to assure that that license requirement is met. And the FERC told the Olneys that if they believe that the easement that they sold to the power company for the project, which we believe includes all aspects of the project, including the public access, if they think that the easement does not provide for the public, then it's not FERC's job to decide whether that's the case under Alaska law. They would have to take legal action, say against AP&T with regard to that. AP&T has made them an offer of a replacement easement that clearly says it is a public easement and is offered to make them a substantial payment for that new easement. Apparently, the Olneys are not satisfied with that. FERC said that if they can't work that out, they would expect the power company to assure that the public has access along that easement, and if they need to use eminent domain, that would be their approach, their recommended approach. FERC is supposed to get back to the city and the other parties, AP&T and the Olneys, individually to discuss where we are. The city's position has remained that we are advocating for the public's interest, and we are not in a position to negotiate away any aspect of the public's interest.
Thank you, Mike. Okay. Is there any additional public comment, or I'm sorry, city council questions and comments? Okay, this is, and then we're coming to the second and last opportunity for the public to comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public wish to comment on non-agenda items? Last chance, Ken. Okay. It looks like we've come to the end of the day. Is there any objection? Is there any further business? Okay. Hi, Kimber. Go ahead. Oh, Kimber, you need to unmute.
I guess I'm I might not have a comment. I just wanted to make a comment about the LBC, and that was an agenda item, so I can't make a comment on it.
I think we could waive it.
Yeah, we'll okay. So I guess because I spent a lot of time reading the, you know, the legislative actions and the history of the LBC, and the Alaska Constitution required all of Alaska to be divided into boroughs, organized or unorganized. In fact, when the model boroughs were being explored, they state from the beginning that the unorganized borough has always embraced an area with greatly diverse interests. They also state that they're not forcing the models on its constituency, but the intention was to ensure that the LBC and the DRCA arguments for and against proposals to create or alter boroughs or annexation had a framework from which to work toward decisions. So I feel our unorganized borough currently works to everyone's benefit as it recognizes that community size, cultural makeup, and the type of local governing structure influences the level and the character of our local community plannings. So, and you're also supporting this bill 279, but I feel like everybody's saying that we could be annexed, we could have all of these things, when the unorganized borough seems like it's a legal entity. And I just, I don't know, I'd like to, I mean, it says it right in the Constitution, so I think it's pretty clear, but what do you think about that?
I'm not supposed to go back and forth, but it is covered in the resolution.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you should take a look at the attachment to the resolution, and other people are also submitting comment, you know, talking about the various, you know, the various issues at length. So I don't think it's something that that we want to continue the discussion tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I just think it's an angle to go saying, like, hey, in the future, let's consider ourselves that unorganized borough. Yeah. And because it works.
Yeah. Thank you for okay. listening. Thank you. Kimber. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And since there's no further business, I'll call an adjournment to the meeting. The time is not quite 9 p.m. Thanks,
you.
Everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Thank you.